Praise God. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Give me an oi when you're there. Hallelujah. There's going to be some real challenging things that'll be coming up. And it's really important that we learn the principles of trusting God, because it's something that, like what I was saying earlier in the service, you can prosper when things are tough. You can do exceedingly well, but this is so important. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't believe I am. I don't believe we've seen the worst of some of the things that are occurring, and it's really important that you pray for the USA and you pray for that president, because there's just some real evil around that is trying to do some nefarious things. It's something that if you continue to walk with God and you continue to develop these principles of walking in the kingdom of God, it's nothing that you and I need to be fearful about. But it is stuff that potentially could destroy lives, things that are happening all over the place. And the things that I'm going to be sharing probably over the next few months are going to be to prepare us and make sure we're ready so that we're people that we can continue. You can do really, really well, you know, regardless of what's happening around you. An example of that is my finances have just been... I've got a number of investments, and most of my investments in this whole downturn where the stocks have plummeted and value has been lost, most of my investments have... some of my more modest ones have doubled, and there's others that have gone far beyond that. So you can prosper. God will lead you. But it's not going to just kind of like fall on you. You have to learn the principles of the kingdom and put them to work, to walk by faith and lean hard on His grace, and He will lead you and He'll guide you, and you will prosper, right? But if you don't pay attention, then you can be swept away with a lot of other people. There are a lot of Christians that have been negatively affected with some of the things that have happened, and I am concerned that we haven't seen the worst of it. It's nothing to be fearful about. I hope you're hearing my heart. But it is something that you want to be diligent in listening to what God has to say and developing in your relationship with Him so that you can continue to grow, and that when storms come, because storms will come. You know, if you're going through a storm, or it has nothing to do with whether you're a good person or a bad person. Storms come to everyone. But learning to listen to the Lord and walk with Him will give you insulation and a passage through that storm, where you will have amazing stories to share with other people about the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God. And so I hope you're hearing me. It's nothing to be alarmed about, but it is something you want to be paying attention and starting to, if you haven't already been doing so, to prepare your heart. Hey, and God will. God has a way through for us. Romans 4, verse 17. Are you there? It says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And I'm going to be sharing some things over the next number of weeks about things that can make us more than overcomers, things that we need to be settling in our heart, deep in our heart, and embracing as a lifestyle that will just carry us through. And so here, this is one of the first things I'm going to be talking about, and that is the joy of the Lord and the power of this force that's called joy. It says, "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." You know, the atmosphere of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy. When it talks about righteousness, yeah, righteousness means doing what's right, but righteousness also is something that God attained for you and I. I mean, if we had to try to be right up to God's standards, we're all disqualified. There's not a single person that can stand before God and say, "Yeah, I've done it all right." But he provides that righteousness, and that righteousness is what Christ did. And the kingdom of heaven, the atmosphere of heaven is that righteousness that you can know that when God looks at you, he's not looking with disapproval in his face. Because that righteousness is a gift that he gives you. And righteousness is an ability to be able to stand before God without any sense of inferiority, without any sense of condemnation, without any sense of thinking like, God, I know you couldn't be happy with me. And if you struggle with that, if you struggle with knowing whether God approves of you, whether God likes you, whether God thinks that you're okay, it's probably because you're looking at your actions in the flesh rather than who you are in the spirit. I'm talking about you if you're born again. If you're not born again, well, of course, you need to accept what Christ has done for you. But as a believer, that righteousness is a gift. You cannot earn it. In fact, it's detestable in God's eyes if you try to earn it. You receive it as a gift. And the scripture says, those who receive that gift of righteousness, they're the ones who reign. Hallelujah. And the kingdom of heaven, the atmosphere of heaven, is this righteousness that God, it's so awesome. And I feel no condemnation. I feel no unworthiness. I feel a total confidence. I can walk into the very presence of God and know that he's got a smile on his face and he's so glad to see me. The kingdom of God is like that. And I think it was Anthony that was sharing in the communion. When you don't have that, that's when you're going to struggle to really release your faith. You know, if you're thinking that God's angry with me or God's upset with me or I haven't been reading my Bible that much and I haven't been praying and I haven't been doing all of these things, so I guess God's probably a little bit, you know, like irritated with me. Well, again, you're looking at your flesh. Am I telling you not to read your Bible? No, I'm not. Am I telling you not to pray? I'm not saying that at all. But don't do those things as a means to think I'll get God off my back. If I just read my Bible, if I come to church, then at least maybe I won't feel as bad. Don't do those things to try to get into God's good books, because you're already in his good books. You do all of those things just to keep your heart soft. Do you think it would make a difference to your heart if you read the word regularly? Yeah. Do you think it would make a difference to your heart if you prayed regularly? Yeah. It doesn't make a difference to God's heart. God's heart for you is 100% for you. And heaven, the atmosphere of heaven, is to know that righteousness, it says there, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. And that first word, righteousness, is one I just want to bring you into. That is the atmosphere of heaven. Walk knowing that you are right before God. Walk knowing that he approves of you. It doesn't mean he approves of everything that you do, but he's not relating to you with your flesh. He's relating to you in the spirit. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him will worship in spirit. So get into the spirit. Understand, as a child of God, your spirit cannot get any more right than it already is. And relate to him in there. Oh, but Pastor Les, what about all these habits that I've got, these selfish ways of thinking and all these wrong? I'm not trying to say that any of that is right, but God doesn't relate to you like that. He relates to you in your spirit. And you know what? If you start agreeing with him about who you are in the spirit, you will find, it's all right, Jess, leave that. They've got the camera crew, got that. Hallelujah. You will find if you relate to him in the spirit, then the things in your flesh will just begin to fall off. Whether they're addictive habits, wrong ways of thinking, selfishness, they will just fall off because you are now getting in agreement with God. Anyway, that is, obviously some people needed to hear that, because I had no plan to share that stuff, but I just wanted to bring out that atmosphere of heaven is righteousness, but it's also peace and it's also joy. And I want to come to joy, because I want to focus on this. This is something that will carry you through the most difficult of situations that you could ever face in your life. And so I want to share some things about it, because he says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is a feeling of pleasure or a feeling of contentment that comes from good fortune or fortunate circumstances. When things go good, you're happy. Somebody comes and does something for you that you weren't expecting, and it's something good, it can make you happy. Somebody slips you some money. Maybe you were short in cash. Someone slips you some money. That can make you happy. But joy is not happiness. It's not the same. Happiness is dependent on your circumstances. Joy is not dependent on your circumstances. Joy can bring feelings of happiness, but you can have joy. This joy is a force. It's a spiritual force, and it resides within you if you're a child of God. And that joy can rise up and empower you even when you are going through the toughest of situations in your life. When it looks like the entire horizon is filled with clouds and it's raining and it's storming and there's lightning and everything's going wrong, yet that force of joy can rise up from within your spirit and empower you. Hallelujah. Joy can produce feelings, but it's not a feeling, and it's not dependent on your circumstances. Hallelujah. Happiness can come and go, but joy remains undiluted in your spirit. And I guess the reason I want to talk about it is because I want us to be a people who don't just allow it to reside in our spirit, but learn how to let it flow and how to let it flow out of our spirit, into our body, into our soul. You know, when the Bible talks about joy, it talks about physical actions. So when we talk about having joy, we're talking about actions. Like the words that are used in the scriptures that refer to joy or rejoice or be glad, they're all connected with physical actions. Things like jump and leap. When it talks about rejoice before the Lord, the Hebrew word that's translated as rejoice also talks about jumping or leaping or spin around. There are words that are translated rejoice or joy or be glad or be of good cheer, and they are speaking of spinning around, jumping and leaping, sitting up, brightening up. I'm just reading to you some of the definitions from the original words that are translated into English as rejoice or joy. Be glad. To laugh is to rejoice. To laugh is to have joy. That's one of the meanings of the word joy. And really, I guess, you know, as I've been meditating, because I've had this on my heart, like the Lord showed me this over a month ago, that when we would come back as a church, that I would preach about the joy of the Lord. And as I've been meditating on it for a number of weeks, if I could put it in my vernacular, I would say that joy is overflow. It's overflow. Overflow of what? Overflow of just about anything good you can think of. Overflow of celebration. Overflow of health. Overflow of prosperity. Overflow of enthusiasm. The kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy. The atmosphere of heaven is in overflow. It's in overflow of celebration. So I want you to see in what I'm saying, like if you think about some of these words in the original language that are translated as joy or be glad or be of good cheer or rejoice, if they mean jump and leap and spin around or sit up, brighten up, be glad, laugh out, if that's what joy literally means, then joy, it is not an attitude of we will go quietly into the night. We will slink away, unnoticed by anyone. Joy is actually the very opposite. It is an overflow of celebration. It is never inconspicuous. It is never unnoticeable. It is never unimposing. It is never unassuming. It's the opposite of that. It is something that's in your face. It is something that is over the top. You know, when Solomon was anointed king, like what happened was David was getting he was getting advanced in years, and it was time for someone to be anointed as the successor, and David had already knew that Solomon was going to be the next king. But one of David's sons, a man by the name of Adonijah, got impatient because David wasn't doing anything, and Adonijah didn't know who was going to be king. But Adonijah was one of David's eldest sons. And Solomon, as far as most of the family was concerned, it couldn't have been Solomon, because Solomon was one of the youngest. And so Adonijah got fed up of waiting. And he just said, you know what? The Bible actually says Adonijah decided to exalt himself. And so he just announced, you know what? I think I'm going to be king. And so he got one of the chief priests. And he got the commander of David's army, Joab. And he called them and he said, it's time. He said, there needs to be another king. David's getting too old to do this. He said, I'm going to be king. And they agreed. And so they decided that they were going to crown him as king. And so they announced it. And they had this coronation service. The only thing is David didn't get the memo, and David's the one who gets to choose. So David, finally it came to David's notice and they said, hey, you got to do something, you know, like. And David said, well, Solomon's the king. He said, I've spoken. And then David brought, like, I'm going to read this scripture to you. It says he brought Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. He brought them. Now, these are heavy hitters. These are like, these guys, if you've read any of the Old Testament, if you've read like the 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings or Chronicles, you will know about these guys. Like, these are like some of the most prominent people in David's kingdom, and he brought those three. And he said, Solomon is the king, not Adonijah. He said, you anoint him as king and you make sure it's a public event. And I want to read to you, it says, so Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah. Benaiah is one of my favorites. Hey, he's one of my Old Testament favorites. There, he comes up. Boy, this guy was so powerful. He took on a guy that was almost the size of Goliath. He took him on. And this guy, he had like this spear. And it didn't look like a spear. It looked like a shaft. It was just so thick and so. But this guy was massive. He was like 2.5 meters tall. And Benaiah just took him, and Benaiah was so quick and so powerful, he grabbed that shaft off him and he made him a kebab, eh? Just destroyed him. And he became like, he was so powerful and such an accomplished warrior, he was part of David's personal bodyguard. And he protected it. Even here, what I'm going to read to you, Benaiah is like, he's in his 70s here, but he's still one of David's chief men. And David would sit, anyway, it's a long story, but I won't. So he calls these, he says, Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. He said, they went down and they had Solomon ride on King David's mule, and they took him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the horn, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. Now, I want you to pay attention. This is in 1 Kings. You don't need to turn there. But if you're a note-taker, you can write it down. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 40. I want you to pay attention to this verse. So everything I've said up till now has just been a lead-up to this verse. And it says, and all the people went up after him, and the people played the flutes and rejoiced with great joy. Everyone say, great joy. They rejoiced with great joy so that the earth seemed to split with their sound. Joy is not an inconspicuous, unnoticed, unassuming little feeling. Joy is an overflow of enthusiasm. It is an overflow of celebration. It is something that is so powerful that rises up from within your spirit. It makes you want to shout. It makes you want to laugh. It makes you want to scream. It makes you want to cheer. It makes you want to just say, thank God for Jesus. Do we have any doers of the word here this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 It is an inherent part of the kingdom of God. That scripture that we started with says the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. The atmosphere of heaven is not in the eating or drinking, but it is in righteousness, it's in peace, and it's in joy in the Holy Ghost. And the joy we're speaking of is an overflow of celebration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, joy brings health. Yes. We're talking about the joy of the Lord. We're talking about this spiritual force. It brings health and healing to your body, not just healing to your emotions, which is wonderful, especially if you're afflicted in your emotions. There's some people that really struggle with fear and anxiety. Well, the joy of the Lord will eradicate that. But I'm talking also about physical afflictions and healings come as a result of joy. There's some hands up if you've heard of Dr. Avery Jackson. He's quite a renowned neurosurgeon. I know Kenneth Copeland has had him a number of times come and do some ministry on their broadcast. And he's had a lot to say just about to do with the force of joy. And you know, he says that science is just catching up with what the Bible has talked about for a long, long time. And he talks about how laughing and exercise will release chemicals in your body which will act as painkillers. You know, your body, like this is what Dr. Avery Jackson says. He says your body doesn't know the difference between a real belly laugh and you just going, ha, 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 ha. Your body doesn't know the difference. And so you can say, ha, 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 and release those same pain-killing chemicals in your bodily system. He talks about how laughter provides a physical benefit to your body. Even when you're anticipating laughing, it will cause those chemicals to be released. You ever been in a situation where someone's telling a story and you know it's a really good one and you're ready to laugh, but they haven't come to the punchline, but you're anticipating? Your body, when you're in that situation, your body is releasing those chemicals already. Some of you are familiar with the movie Patch Adams. It was, I think, about 20 years ago with Robin Williams. That's based on a true story. The guy was Hunter Doherty Adams, and he was a doctor. He was a medical physician, but he just had a great sense of humor, and he found that as he ministered to his patients, because he injected humor into his interactions, he found that many of them were recovering a lot quicker than other people's patients. And so soon he began to do all of his interactions, like as a doctor. He would dress up as a clown and go in and get them laughing. And he would have really serious cases, life-threatening illnesses. But he found that as he got people to laugh, he found that medically it was making a difference. Hallelujah. Professor Lee Burke from UCLA said, laughter can lower blood pressure, trigger a flood of endorphins, the brain chemicals that bring on euphoria and decrease pain. Laughter will enhance your immune system. It will produce gamma interferon, a disease-fighting protein which rises with the greater amount of laughter that you produce in your life. It'll produce B cells, which produce disease-destroying antibodies, and T-cells, which orchestrate your body's immune response. Laughter lowers the flow of stress hormones, which suppress the immune system, raise blood pressure, and increase the number of platelets, which causes clots and potentially... Anyway, he's basically saying laughter's really good for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a man by the name of Norman Cousins. And it's a true story. And he was an editor of a weekly newspaper, and he was diagnosed with ankylosing spondylitis. It's a degenerative disease. His spine was disintegrating. All the connective tissue was falling apart, and it was incurable. And so he was given a death sentence, and he was in tremendous pain. And because of this diagnosis, he actually did three things. And the first thing he did was he realized that a lot of these medications, he began to investigate, a lot of these medications was depleting his level of vitamin C. So he began to take more vitamin C. The second thing is he checked himself out of hospital because he felt like, man, it's just sick people and depressed people that are in hospital. And he thought, they've just got no good news for me. I'm getting out of there. And he went and he checked himself into a hotel to be by himself. And the third thing he did was he just bought, he bought footage of comedy movies and comedy shows. And he would watch them all day and all night. Because he just thought, I just got to cheer myself up. He didn't know what he was doing. This is in the 60s, it was 1964. And he's just watching these comedy shows. He was watching the Marx Brothers, for those of you who are old enough to remember the Marx Brothers, which were awesome. And he would have, he was like, I mean, his back was in excruciating pain. But he would be watching the Marx Brothers and he couldn't get to sleep because of his back. And he would be like, it would be hurting him because he'd be laughing so hard and for so long. And then a while later, he'd suddenly get up and realize he'd been sleeping for 4 or 5 hours because he'd laughed so hard. He didn't understand the science, but it released the chemicals and it deadened the pain. And so, like, he was, like, the first couple of times it happened, he was astonished, but he began to see the pattern. And so anytime the pain started coming on, he started putting the comedies back on. And he'd watch it, and he'd just get have these belly laughs and just laugh and then fall asleep. And he was able to get whole nights of sleep as a result. Within 3 weeks, he was completely healed and back at work. This is before any of the investigation about what we understand now. You know, the scripture talks about how the joy of the Lord is our strength. This guy didn't understand a lot of that. You know, joy is a weapon. It's a weapon that God has given us. I want you to look with me at Psalm 8, verse 1. Psalm 8, verse 1. Are you getting something out of this morning? Hallelujah. Psalm 8, verse 1. Give me an oi when you're there. Oi. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Everyone say, ordained strength. Ordained strength. I want you to look at that. We're going to come back to that in a minute. So in verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. And it says, you don't need to turn there, but you can write it down and look it up in your own time. Matthew 21, verse 14 to 16. It talks about how the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, the chief priests became indignant. And they said to Jesus, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants? Now, what's he doing? He is quoting what we've just read. We just read in Psalm 8, verse 2. You still got that in front of you?
Yes.
Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. And when these children are celebrating with great joy, there was an overflow of celebration and they were singing, Hosanna to the Son of David. These priests and these rulers and these authorities got so annoyed. They said to Jesus, tell them to shut up. Do you see what they're saying? And Jesus said, yeah, I see. And he said, have you not read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. He didn't say ordained strength. He was quoting Psalm 8 verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength is the scripture. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Did Jesus misquote? Did he get it wrong? He didn't. Jesus was giving us revelation. When Psalms says that out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength is the same as perfected praise. When you perfect praise, you are ordaining strength to be released in your life. That's why praise is so significant. You can be in a situation where the doctor has diagnosed something terrible to you and you get into praise. When you perfect that praise, you are ordaining strength. And what is that strength for? In Psalm 8 verse 2, it says to silence the enemy and the avenger. So praise is strength to silence the enemy and the avenger. I want you to say that. Praise is strength. Praise is strength. Say it again. It's strength. It silences the enemy and the avenger. Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. And he was giving us revelation. Perfected praise releases ordained strength to silence the enemy and the avenger. Now, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your what?
Strength.
Well, hang on a minute. I thought praise was strength. Because Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Is that true? Yes, it is. Well, if the joy of the Lord is strength and praise is strength, then joy is praise. That's why I would refer to joy as an overflow of celebration. Because joy is praise, and joy is strength, and praise is strength. Joy is an overflow of celebration. Praise is an overflow of celebration. You can't say to someone, well, you know what, I'm just praising God, eh? It's pretty tough, but I'm just praising God all the way to the bank. Thank you, Jesus. That's not praise. Because praise is joy, is strength. And joy is overflow. Hallelujah. Some believers need to notify their face that they are joyful. Some believers need to notify their bodies, you're joyful. You know, when you're joyful, you're going to have a saunter to your walk. You know, like, even a little flick of the head, you know. Because it's just like that force of joy is just rising up within you. And you know, your body responds to that. The point that I'm making with all of this, I'm still on that point, that joy releases health and healing to your body. I remember Brother Kenneth Copeland had a prophetic word one time, and I'm going to quote what he said. The Lord was speaking to him, and he said, you rejoice by faith. He said, rejoicing does not come by some sort of feeling. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy is part of my spiritual arsenal, says the Lord, part of the fruit of the Spirit. If you will search my word, says the Lord, you will see that joy is a mighty weapon. In the kingdom of darkness, there is no defense for the joy of the Lord, for praise stops and stills the enemy. When you are releasing joy so that just doesn't stay in your spirit, it floods your emotions. It comes into your body and there's a dance. There's a quickening to your step. There's a groove in your walk. There's a flick in your head. There's a difference in your voice and in the way you speak. When you do that, you're releasing that force of joy to work in your circumstance and situation. And the enemy has nothing to combat that. Nothing at all. That's why, you know, like, you know, if the devil's trying to get in your head and trying to get you anxious and fearful about something, that's why it's just a good practice to go, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. You know, many times I'll do that because, like, if there's a temptation for me to get anxious or fearful about something and I suddenly recognize it's the devil's paw prints all over that, I go, ha, 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 I just caught you. You loser. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Do you know how deflating that is if someone is trying to intimidate you and you just go, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Do you know how demoralizing that is? And remember that when you do that, you're siding with your spirit and your body doesn't know the difference between a real belly laugh and that voice of ha, ha, ha. So your body is responding And it's releasing endorphins. It's releasing those chemicals to work in your body. Hallelujah. I remember years ago, this is in the 90s, Tim and Deb had come and joined our home group. And so they were part of our home group. And I remember they'd probably been part of our home group for a couple of years at this stage. But they talked about how weird things were happening in their apartment. Just kind of things moving around and becoming dislodged and stuff, and no one would touch it. And so they kind of felt like there was something spiritual there. And so they asked if Joy and I would go over and just pray with them and just make sure. And so we said, yeah, we'll come over. And so we came over and we just began to pray. And immediately Joy saw an evil spirit. I didn't see anything, and I don't think you guys saw anything. I became aware of something, and it was standing kind of like to my right behind me in the dining area. But I didn't see anything. But Joy leaned over. She said, there's an evil spirit behind you to your right. And I said, yeah, I kind of felt something was there. And anyway, so I just turned around and looked at it, and I said, you got nothing. You've got no right to be here, and we have authority, and so we command you in the name of Jesus, you leave. And anyway, I don't want to go into the whole story, but there was some stuff that was going on, and there were several spiritual entities there. But we prayed and we took authority over it. We commanded it to leave, right? And I remember when I said to this kind of ruling one, I said, "You must go now in the name of Jesus." I didn't see anything, but I had this impression that it just kind of like widened its stance and folded its arms like that. And I just kind of felt like that. And Joy leaned over. She said, "It's just folded its arms and it's looking at you." And I said, "Yeah, I kind of felt that." And I said, "You know, you don't intimidate us. You know you have to go." And so we just prayed in the spirit for a little bit. And then I just felt like the Lord said, just start praising me now. You've already prayed. You've already addressed it. It has to go. So start praising me. And so we got in a circle. And we just started to praise God. Like, it was there. I could feel it was there. But it's like we just turned our back on it. You can't touch us. You can't hurt us. And so in a circle, we just began to sing and give praise to God. And these things got removed forcibly. These angels came. I didn't see anything, but Joy saw these two massive angels just come in and grab them two things and just drag them out as we were praising God. But notice it was as we praised God. Hallelujah. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise, which is ordaining strength to still the enemy and the avenger. You want to shut him up, you start allowing that joy of the Lord that's within you to bubble up. Just laugh in his face. Ha, 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 you can't touch me. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, I want you to practice that. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha. You know, some people would think that that's real weird. Hey, some people would think that we're just being doers of the word. We're just putting the word of God to practice. Hallelujah. We've got to learn to laugh at the threats of the devil. Hallelujah. The devil just loves to try to intimidate us, to make our circumstance look so bad, so bleak, so negative, so terrible, so unchangeable. And instead of yielding to that worry or fear, just laugh in his face. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. I found you out. You can't touch me. You cannot defeat me. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. I shared this last year, but it just fits so well into what I'm sharing right now. But in September last year, I had a dream, a very, very vivid dream, and I know it was from God. And I was in this open field. It was just like a grassy field, and there were some hills in the distance. And it was kind of like almost like the Sound of Music kind of scenery, you know? But it was just this big open expanse of grass. And I was walking, and it was beautiful. And I saw in the distance a man. and he was walking towards me. I couldn't make out who it was, but I knew who it was, even though I couldn't make out any physical feature. I just saw it was a kind of like the outline at a long distance away, and it was Satan. It was the devil, and he was walking, and I knew it was him, and I knew he had come to kill me. So anyway, I'm walking towards him and he's walking towards me. And as he's getting closer, I can start making features out. He had a fine suit on. I'm just telling you my dream, okay? This is what I saw. He had a suit on. It was quite a meticulous suit. And he was walking towards me and I knew he had come to kill me. But there was no fear, not at all, not even a sense of worry. There was not even a hesitation in my steps. I'm walking towards him. And as he's getting closer, I can make out his face now. He just looked like a normal man. And as he's walking towards me, I could feel his intention towards me was great harm. He was there to kill me. And as I can make out his face and the concentration on and the determination on his face that he was there to really hurt me, I just began to smile as I'm walking towards him. Because I was just not worried in the least. And I'm walking closer to him, and he could now see that I was not worried. In fact, I was smiling. And so his face became very serious, like this real anger, seething anger. He's walking towards me. And as I could see his face is getting serious, my face is getting warmer. And I'm going like, and I'm walking towards him. And like he can see that he's trying so hard to intimidate me. And he's getting closer. We're still walking towards each other. And so now he's just visibly upset and really angry. And he's making all these sounds, these breathing sounds and growling sounds and stuff. And I start to chuckle like, and I'm walking towards him. And then all of a sudden he starts to like, I don't want to, I'll say it and I'll qualify it. It was like he was shape-shifting. But I don't want to exaggerate. It's not like he morphed into some, you know, like horrible, but it was. It was like he was starting to change, only just slightly. He was still human in shape, but he was just becoming more and more grotesque and ugly and hideous to look at and stuff. Not in an extreme way, but it was. It was just getting like, and he's doing that, and I knew he was doing that to really scare me. And I started to laugh, like, look at him. And like he's coming closer to me, and he's just like, he's trying as hard as he can to look imposing, to look scary and stuff. And now he's like, he's only like a meter away and I'm laughing. And he puts his hand on my shoulder and he's like, he grabbed me with force. Like, and he's just trying to, it's like there was fear that was all over him. And he grabbed my shoulder and I just looked and I just laughed in his face. Like, ah, it's like it wasn't working. There was nothing he was doing that was working. And he just pulled me like he from my shoulder, he went down to my arm and he grabbed me and he started to swing me around like this, like really violently. And I knew that he was just picking up some momentum because he was going to throw me against them hills that were just in the long, long distance. He was just going to make me bounce. And as he's swinging me around like more and more and more, I'm going, wee, and I was just laughing hysterically. And then I woke up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I knew exactly what God was trying to say. Do you know what God was saying? Everything the devil's got is deception. He's got nothing of substance. It is all deception. And if we believe what he says, we then succumb to the fear and we authorize him to work. And nothing he did had any effect because I just knew it wasn't true. And I just, there was such a confidence. Even as I was going around and he's swinging me around, I was just laughing hysterically and doing the wee. And I was doing that because I just knew even if I bounced off the hill, it wouldn't hurt. I just knew I couldn't be hurt. Do you realize that's how much God loves you and I? That's how committed he is to you and to me, to bring you into the manifestation of that breakthrough, of that success, of the promotion, of the dreams that he's put, whether it's to do with your family or your circumstance, your finances. He is committed all the way. And all he wants from us is to stop believing the deception of the enemy, because that's all the enemy has, is lies and deception. And he'll bring fear and anxiety if you buy into his lies. But you can laugh at him. And it can just start by you going, ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 you're a liar and it's not going to work on me. Ha, 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 come on, practice that. Ha, 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 ha. Let's stand up. Ha, 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 ha. Did someone say death? Ha, 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 ha. Ha ha. Did someone say incurable? Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Did someone say never? Ah ha ha ha. Ah ha ha. Ha ha. Did someone say failure? Ah ha ha ha. Ah ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Did someone say no recovery? Ah ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Did someone say irreparable? Ah ha 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 ha. Ha ha. Did someone say impossible? Ah ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha. That's what we need to do when the devil begins to echo those words in your mind and in my mind. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to get the music team up. Come on, come on. We're going to celebrate. We're going to sing Rejoice in the Lord to finish with. Praise the Lord. Yep. Yeah.
When we were doing praise and worship this morning, I didn't share this. I don't know why. But I was contemplating laughing at the devil during this time. And the Lord said to me, when you laugh at the devil, you can say to him, I'm going to heaven. You will never go to heaven and just laugh in his face.
Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. Come on, say, I'm going to heaven. He's not going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you get something out of that this morning? Oh, man. He's got nothing, hey. There are, you know, this is some of the stuff that I'm talking about. When, you know, there will be storms that are coming up. I'm concerned as Christians that are not prepared. This is one of the things you want to be exercising now. It'll take you through any storm. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord again, I say rejoice. Come on, put some groove in your move.
Rejoice in the Lord again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord and again I say rejoice.
Your kindness
abounds to the ends of the earth. Your grace and your mercy surround us, O Lord. Your name is exalted, for you are Lord of all.
Oh yeah, come to the river.
Come to the river and drink from the water of life. Come to the river and drink from the water of life. Come to the river and drink from the water of life. Come to the river and drink from the water. Healing, deliverance, salvation and more. The river is poured out for one and for all. So come to the river and drink from the water of life.
All right, come on, let me hear you say it now.
You're a mighty God. You're an awesome God. You're a healing God. You're a sovereign God. Oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Rejoice in the Lord. 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 And again I say rejoice.
Oh, yeah.
Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice.
Oh yeah, come to the river, let's drink today.
Come to the river and drink from the water of life. Come to the river and drink from the water. Come to the river and drink from the water of life. Just come to the river and drink from the water of life. There's healing, deliverance, salvation and more. The river is poured out for one and for all. Come to the river and drink from the water of life.
Oh yeah, let's declare it. He's a mighty God.
You're a mighty God. You're an awesome God. You're a healing God. You're a sovereign God. Oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Rejoice in the Lord. Hey, oh, hey, oh. Rejoice in the Lord. Hey, oh, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord.